there, hi there, ho there. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me on this Monday, September 20th, where you can download a new update for your iPhone. Well, there's a lot to talk about today, and Gottmik is going to be here from season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. You might have seen him at the Emmys last night when RuPaul became the most awarded black entertainer from Emmy, winning his 11th. Well, I'm not going to go off on RuPaul, but whatever. He can't even show up in drag at the Emmys. I mean, come on. Your name is RuPaul. You're famous for being a drag queen. You're winning awards for being a drag queen. You can't show up in drag. But whatever. That's his thing, and he can do it. But the Emmys were a dismal disappointment. Every major category won by a cisgendered white individual. Nothing has changed there. And yes, I have to say before we get going today, it pisses me off. Because we've done three Dorian's Toast now, and these are the most diverse, inclusive award shows in television. You can watch them at dorianstoast.com, where we award people like Michaela J, who lost last night. While we award people, including RuPaul, while we, you know, we award the people who deserve it, who are also diverse and inclusive, and we can't sell it to a network. We cannot get it on a major network because all they do is lip service. And really, before we get to Gottmik later in the show today, I want to start with that. We don't want to solve problems. Like networks and the Emmys, they don't want to solve problems. You know, they don't. They don't want to actually program diversity and pay for diversity. And white people don't actually want to move out of the way for diversity. They just want to talk about it. It's like Twitter. All social media does is allow people to not do anything. Let's bitch about people who don't get vaccines instead of actually do something about them. Let's bitch about politics and policies instead of actually doing something about it. Let's, you know, talk about climate change and post all these things about climate change instead of actually doing something about it. And white people, you know, myself included, I guess, you know, you're going to have to do more than talk about equality and diversity. Okay. We got Texas moving into the Taliban-esque stage. Beto O'Rourke is probably going to run for governor there, and hopefully he will win. But people don't want to solve problems anymore. They want to bitch about them, complain about them, moan about them, fight about them, certainly. But solve them? No. Nobody does. Because it takes effort. It takes dedication. It takes perseverance. And you know what? I have been just as guilty. I've been watching Hacks on HBO, and I've been loving it. And it makes me feel that I need a reinvention. I struggled for money so much after KGO fired me in Long Beach because of the enormity of the house that I was carrying, $3,500 a month for mortgage and utilities and upkeep on unemployment or then with other jobs. You know, you have to make $120, $130 a year to sustain that kind of, $35 a month, three times that would be $10,500 a month or about $140,000 a year. I wasn't making that. Not too many people in radio or television are. Few people are. And so I struggled under that enormity for so long that I let my image of myself change over the time I've been here in Vegas. And yes, I have done the Dorian Awards, and I hope that you learn something from what I'm about to tell you as well, because I think we have all let the image of ourself to ourself change, and we got to change. We got to reinvent. I mean, Madonna's always been good at reinvention. Now she reinvented herself into someone that we can't even recognize. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for reinvention. You know, I do the show and I don't have advertisers. Part of the reason is I say that I'm not a good ad salesperson, so I don't go sell any. Or I don't try to go to the companies that, you know, monetize podcasts because they've turned me down before. Because I don't have 1 million downloads a day. But very few podcasts do. I'm in the top 200 podcasts on iTunes, on Spotify. But a lot of people, you know, you can be in the top 100 and not even make $5,000 a month from the podcast. There's so many out there, it's hard to monetize them now. So I gave up. So I've been living off disability and $600 a month from Patreon, struggling, like you, passing by things I really want and need, like a car. I've been producing shows like The Dorians for free instead of just walking away and saying, look, if we can't get companies to come on board and we have tried, then you know what? I'm tired of trying to be the champion of diversity in television and film if it's not going to pay any bills. So instead of walking away or trying harder to get companies to come on board, I just let it go. And there's so much today now that all of us are just letting go. And that includes ourselves. Obesity has again risen in the United States. We can't, you know, solve climate change, we think, so we just let it go. Well, we need to reinvent. You know, I work for you in the sense of I do a show and I hope you like it. Okay, but I'm not your employee. And there's been a few people on Patreon that have treated me like an employee. They have sent me emails that have been condescending and disrespectful. They have acted like, you know, dangling a carrot. Oh, I'll give you some more support if you do this, if you do that. Dangling support in front of me, saying, well, I'll give you 500, you know. What I'm trying to say is that's not me. I'm not Hal Sparks, God bless him, but I'm not him. He's on one radio station now, and he does a Patreon thing, and he works with Steph Miller. I was Carell on KFI, KGO. I've been on every national news network that there is, and maybe I'm not now, but that doesn't take away from my past. The same for you. Maybe you're not who you were right now, but that doesn't take away from who you were. So we all have to remember our power and exercise it. And people aren't going to like it. People in your world are going to call you name. You're being a bitch, whatever. Yep. Because guess what? I have let it. I let it happen. I bought into, well, you're just going to have to retire and work part-time, doing a little show three times a week and not really have a huge following anymore and just sort of be, you know, be lucky for what you do have. And yeah, no, I don't. I don't know why I ever believed that. Because for so long, I was so downtrodden. Because for so long, like you, I've been under the strain of society, the stress of America's regard. Being an American citizen has almost destroyed my spirit. Fighting the same fights over and over and over. Watching people regress instead of progress. A pandemic that is, okay, AVN just canceled in Las Vegas, the adult thing. It was going to happen in January. Nope. NAB just canceled in Las Vegas. They were going to come in October. Nope. Conferences are now canceling again. Why? Because COVID is out of control. Why? Because we are still arguing with people about masks and shots instead of saying, if you are not wearing a mask, if you do not have a vaccine, you're either staying home, you're being fined, or you're going to jail. This is national health we're talking about. This is 650,000 dead people we're talking about. Screw 9/11. We changed our entire world, over 3,000 dead Americans on one day, and yet almost 700,000 have died. And what have we changed? We won't even smack these suckers in the mouth when they walk up to us and cough in our faces. Oh, yeah, you're wearing your mask. We won't shut down restaurants for throwing out parents that have children that are wearing masks because the child is immunocompromised. That person still gets to do business today. Oh, well, Yelp has gone crazy, giving them negative. Who cares? Their doors should be shuttered. We won't do it, and neither will I. I've been sitting here in Vegas having a great life with Ember and exercising and, you know what? Why haven't I finished the book? Because I don't think it'll matter. I don't believe that you guys are actually going to become plant-based because I tell you to. Why would you? You know, you're most of you are fat and unhealthy now. You've been fat and unhealthy forever. Why would I be able to change that? How could I inspire you to change that when your own death is looking at you square in the face and yet you shovel in the beef, you shovel in the french fries, you shovel in the dairy, and you do it because you say, oh, I could never be a vegan. I could never be a plant-based eater. And vegans, you're freaking crazy too. Oh, if you're a vegan, you shouldn't condone horseback riding. Why not? symbiotic relationships between humans and animals is how humans progressed. We exploit them. You know, vegans always forget plants are alive. And that to grow plants, you have to kill things. You have to kill bugs, gophers, pests of all kinds. You know, vegans seem to think that they can just live a life without killing anything. Plants are alive. They emit pheromones when they're afraid. Trees are alive. Are vegans against wood? Truly. Oh, well, vegans shouldn't keep dogs because you're enslaved. This is how crazy everybody has become. And where are you in all this? You're not. You've forgotten yourself. You know, I sat around this weekend upset that I haven't seen Jake and Heather and that their mom and dad went up to Seattle and had this reunion with them and that I wasn't invited. Have I planned a trip up there? Have I planned a trip for the four of us, for Jake, Heather, and their spouses? No. I've sat here and felt lonely. I've sat here and complained, and I've come up with a million reasons why I can't go to Seattle. And what does that do for me? Nothing. And why? Because for so long, I let my self-image be dictated by America, by American society, and I never used to. Never. I could not have become Carell now if I had the attitude now that I had, you know, back then. I would walk into any room and think, I'm just as good as any entertainer here. I'm just as good. You know, of course I could host the Emmys. Now, all I do is come up with reasons why I can't do anything. Well, your podcast is never going to be number one because you're never going to make a ton of money because you're on disability. And if you make money, you're going to have to go off disability and then you'll lose your income. You'll lose your medical care. No, I'll have to replace it. The problem is I am disabled. The problem is I would have to find a situation that would allow me days and days off when I can't move or, you know, when I have to go in for my aorta or when I have to all the other things going on. I am actually disabled. That's part of the problem. But I can still do things. I'm not retired and I'm not dead. We act like we can't do anything. We're all just acting powerless. Oh, the idiots get to, you know, the media, for the life of me, I will never understand why the media gives voice to the people that we should shut up. I will never understand why they'll let Larry Elder say he may or may not accept the results of an election or anyone. There's no two sides to that. I don't know why everyone in Congress that didn't vote for the certification of Joe Biden hasn't been thrown out. I mean, no one wants to do anything because we feel paralyzed, because we feel like, what for? Why bother? You know, a white girl went missing and she's been found. And we all know her husband did it. We knew the minute it happened that he did it. And everybody is outraged about how trans and black and Asian and gay and people of color go missing all the time. And there's not this national outcry. Yeah, Don Winslow, I'm talking about you. Because this guy, this Project Lincoln guy, this author, Winslow, he was all, it's horrible how, you know, a white girl goes missing and everybody's talking about it. But every day people of color. Yeah, I searched his timeline and I couldn't find one mention of any person of color that went missing. I went back on his timeline as long as he had Twitter and it's not filled with reports of transgendered, you know, being killed or, you know, murderers not being found or black people that have been missing. I don't, you know, all these people complaining about racism, complain. I go back and I look at their history and I don't see any of them doing anything except bitching about it now. See what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? We have to start reinventing ourselves in the new world, in the new America. And that means remembering your power. You know, I don't want to have Patreon anymore. I'm going to continue to accept the donations and thank you for them because they really do pay bills. But I want to find maybe 10 sponsors at $100 a month. I mean, $100 a month. And if I find 10 of those, I replace Patreon. And then you guys don't have to give out of your pocket. I don't like that. It makes me feel bad that I have to ask you for money to support me. Maybe it doesn't make Hal Sparks feel badly. Maybe it doesn't make anyone in today's world feel badly. I feel badly that I can't find a corporation to say, we think the Carell cast is important. Here's $10,000 for the year. I feel badly about that. But instead of going out and changing it, I just end up feeling badly about it. We want to do a gift bag for the Dorians. And companies will put their product in the award and send it to every celebrity. That's worth something. That's promoting their item to people that may never see it. Now, we haven't been able to find anyone to give us product and $1,000 to put it in the bag. So I've given up. Why call companies? You've called 50 already. It will never change if we don't reclaim our power. And it starts with me and it starts with you. You know what? I am one of the best talk show hosts working. I am one of the best stage performers working, and I want to get back to it. I want to come back and see you. I want to earn my keep. I want to go to a venue, have you show up and buy a ticket, and me give you a show for it. That's what I want. Oh, well, your audience is so spread out now. How could you ever? Oh, what would we do? Palm Springs? No one would come. San Jose? No, you're not on KGO anymore. How would you promote it? How would you get people there? Maureen Langan is doing dates. She's not on KGO anymore. A lot of people are out doing dates that don't even have a podcast. Well, then you wouldn't be the headliner, or you wouldn't have a dressing room. Racket. Yep. For 5 years now, ever since I was fired from KGO, all I've done is flounder. Flounder. Why? Because I haven't made myself have a clear vision. Oh, yes, I've done the Dorians, and I've loved it. And I would love to keep doing it and get paid for it and go off disability and have the Dorians and this 3 day a week plus other projects that come along be my gig. But it's so hard and no one will finance it. Yes, life is hard and it never gets easier. And that's the problem. When I moved to Vegas and I bought this condo and paid for it cash, things got easier. And when they got easier, I didn't want to go back to hard. I'll be honest. Will you? But I'll be honest. Things got easier. I wasn't struggling every day. Even without Patreon, I could live. I could just cut back but I'd stop doing the show. But I could live. It got easier. And I thought, I don't want to go back to the hustle. I don't want to do that. Well, you can't have the benefits if you don't put in the work. I work hard on the Dorian Awards, very hard. And it shows. They're better than the Emmys. If you haven't watched them at dorianstoast.com, that's your loss. They're better than the Emmys. My song, Flickering Life, that I wrote with Morgan Mallory, was better than the opening number on the Emmys. Everybody said so. I've got this. I've got this. So why aren't I doing it? You've got this. You've got the power. You've got the strength. But it ain't going to be easy. Nothing for the rest of our lives is going to be easy. Because everything in America is a fight now. So you either fight with every ounce of fiber you have in you, or you quit. I've been quitting. I don't want to produce my own show. It's too much work. I don't want to. Yep, I've been quitting because it is a lot of work, because it is very hard for one person to do everything. And because I've never been blessed to have fans or friends that just say, oh, let me help you. So many podcasters, broadcasters, stars, entertainers, they have people who want to be their assistant, who want to help for free. Let me help. I've never had that happen. I know broadcasters that people have given them houses. Come live here, live in our guest house, do this, do that. Here's a car. I know you need a car and we're not using it. It's just sitting in our garage. Here, have the car. I've never had that happen, ever. And I guess I got resentful. Resentful that it wasn't hard for Joe Rogan, who is spreading disinformation, lies, COVID conspiracies, and killing people and making millions. Being promoted by Spotify. I got mad because shows not as good as the Dorians are getting picked up and broadcast. And instead of turning that around and manifesting what I want, I just step back a little. I try less instead of harder because it's exhausting and I'm tired of being tired. But life in America is exhausting. And this is where I am now. Life is not easy. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's not for anybody. And so we need to reinvent and reclaim. Reinvent who you are. Claim who you were. Mold it into something even more spectacular and get what you want now. Go for it now. Yes, in the middle of a pandemic. Yes, in the middle of a terrible economy. Yes, it's gonna be hard. But we have waited long enough. And remember who you are. You deserve respect. You know, I always try to give respect. When I make a mistake, I try to correct it. You know, I made a mistake with the Dorians. Five things got past me. You know, typos. Russell T. Davies, a writer who's winning Emmys, his typewriter thing at the Dorians, there are some typos. I corrected them, but then they got the editor grabbed the wrong video and put the old one in. And by the time we saw it, it was deadline and it was too late to fix. And there's four other things in the Dorians. It was just too late to fix. And I had to live with it. And I hate that. I hate that something I did has mistakes. And one of those mistakes upset someone and made them feel disrespected. And I tried to tell them, it's not disrespect. I am sorry. I will correct it in the upcoming things. That wasn't good enough for them. And so at that point, I just have to say, I'm done. I'm done. You know, I'm human. I can do what I can do. If you don't like that, go away. You have to start saying the same thing. I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to do it the best that I can. If I make mistakes along the way, either forgive them or leave me alone. Go away. But now we want to picket mistakes. We want to fight about mistakes. We want to argue about mistakes. And we always, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? We can't just blindly support something because it's right. We have to get something out of it. Well, I have to change just like you do. I have to change back into myself. I have to realize that 5 years of economic oppression, of being gay and that oppression, of being a progressive and under Trump, that oppression, I have to realize that that can tamp you down. It can dampen your spirit. It can constrain you. It's time for all of us to break free of our own binds. The only thing holding me back is me, and the only thing holding you back is you. Not COVID, not the economy, you and me, because we have been beaten down by people. The rich, we need to go take their effing money. If we've got three people in this country who can afford their own space programs, we have three people that are too rich. Go take their freaking money. Stop talking about it. Nationalize Amazon.com. If it's the number one provider of products in America and it's making more money than Jesus, nationalize it. Give us that money. If energy is the future and selling energy is the way to make money, nationalize it. Let all of America have free energy and sell the rest. Do things that are bold and brave. You're going to fail in some, but what's it matter? People are going to pick you apart. Oh, well. You know, I've let that bother me for 5 years. I got to stop. Oh, this listener didn't like that. Oh, this fan didn't like that. Oh, you're so-and-so in my life. My friend didn't like that. Oh, I hope I didn't say something to... No. You know what? It's time to reclaim who you were, and it's time to reinvent who you're going to be. Before COVID, before Donald Trump, before the crash of the economy 15 times. And it's time to start telling it like it is. Oh, well, it'll cause fights. Yeah, so what? Some woman walked into the store the other day with her mask around her chin. I said, put that shit on. Well, why don't you mind your own business? I walked over to her face and I put it up over her face. And she audibly gasped and said, don't touch me. And I said, you know what? You're lucky I didn't smack you in your smug little face. Now leave your mask up. Oh, she got so angry and so mad. So what? She's an idiot. Why are we so, you know, hands off at pissing off idiots? And why are we so complacent as they are running rampant? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of idiots being in my life. I'm sick of it. I am just sick of it. And they don't have to be, because you can stop them dead in their tracks. Do you have the courage? When a loved one in your family is going on about how they're not going to be vaccinated, do you have the courage to say, then you're not in my family. You're done. Get out. I did it. Do you have the courage? Do you have the courage to say that even though I am financially challenged, I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to be better. I'm going to reinvent. Do you have the courage to do that? I don't know. We're going to see if I do. I love each and every one of you. Every fan, every Patreon subscriber, every one of you that have been on this journey with me, I love each and every one of you. And I want only the best for each and every one of you listening to me. I want your life to be the fullest and the best that it can be. But if you come for me, you send me a snide tweet, a snotty email, you demand something of me when I am trying to accommodate you, you treat me with disrespect and disregard, I'm no longer taking it. I took it for 5 years because I was so afraid of losing everything, not realizing I already had. I already lost everything. I lost my entire Southern California life, all of it. Radio, my home, the pets that I had, the friends that I had there. I don't speak to Karen anymore that much. I don't speak to Ken at all. I don't speak to Dennis Cope at all. Why? Various fights, various arguments where I stood up for myself. Where I said to one of them, you're an ugly drunk. Stop being an ugly drunk. Get some help. I'll help you. They walked out of my life, never came back. Oh, well, they were an ugly drunk. 35 years out the door. Oh, well. Not going to stick around and just let them be an ugly drunk. Oh, well, you're just going to have to put, no, I don't. So each of us needs to reclaim and reinvent. I'm going to be doing it with you. I am a work in progress. I am going to try with every ounce of fiber in me to get enough sponsors to where Patreon will not be a necessity, where if I don't get it, I don't pay a bill. My life, my bills should not be just reliant upon the generosity of people given $5 or $10. That's begging. And that's how I felt for the last 3 years of doing this show. Like, I am begging you for your support. Not that I deserve it. Not that my show is so fabulous that why wouldn't you support it? But more like, please, 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 please follow me on social media. I give great social media content. If you're not following me at Really Carell, you're missing out. I do a great show. If you want to support it with $5, it beats giving it to Disney. But I'm tired of feeling like I'm begging you for it. And you didn't do that to me. I did that to me. I made myself feel like Patreon and donations is me out on the corner like the Salvation Army with a podcast. Here I am doing a great podcast. Please give me money. You know, like Hal Sparks or others, not to pick on him, but half his show is spent thanking people who are giving him the money. And here's a new subscriber, and here's a new this, and here's a new. You know what? I want to talk about topics. I want to interview guests. I want to travel and bring you with me. I don't want to have to every single day, you know, worry about losing Patreon subscribers, worry about not getting any, worry about one of them being mad, worry about, no, I cannot do it. Not anymore. And I shouldn't have to. I'm not these people. And you shouldn't have to worry every day. Is the rent going to get paid? Is the mortgage going to get paid? Is my job still going to be there? Is the climate going to turn against me? Am I going to be the victim of a fire or a flood? Is my government going to be overthrown in 2022? Are we going to be... These are concerns you should not have. So how do we get rid of them? How do we reclaim our power and reinvent into somebody that is not constantly worried about their life and where they feel like they're... It's like we're begging these people to wear masks and we're begging them to get vaccines. We're giving... Please get a vaccine. We'll give you $100. Please get a vaccine. We are begging people to save their own lives. That's the stupidest crap I've heard ever. Having to beg someone. When people got HIV and AIDS, which there may be a cure for, I'm not going to be spreading lies. It's just in phase one clinical human trials, but it's from the CRISPR. It's from this whole technology that gave us the COVID vaccine, and they might actually have a cure for AIDS. We'll see. We'll see. It's starting trials. You know, but we're begging people. With AIDS, we didn't have to beg anybody when a new treatment came around. There were too many people that wanted to take experimental drugs. AZT, 3TC, protease inhibitors. People would give their arms, you know? And a majority of us still wear the condoms. We don't take the stupid PrEP crap that could hurt our bodies so we can run around scot-free. No. You don't have to beg someone with AIDS to get treatment. And you don't have to beg someone without AIDS to not go get it. They did for a while. They begged people to wear condoms. They never had to beg me. Uh-uh. All right, let's get to Gottmik. This is the acceptance speech from the Dorian Awards. We did it as interviews because, as you saw, Emmy, it is so disrespectful, a theme today, when someone has won an award to play them off with music before they're done. Debbie Allen's like, you might as well stop that clock. Yeah, that's so rude. You give someone a governor's award for a lifetime achievement, and then you play music over their speech. Well, no, we don't do that at the Dorians. We let the winners speak. And Gottmik accepted for RuPaul's Drag Race, which won. And he was there last night with RuPaul at the Emmys as well. So we let him speak. We let him talk about it. And I interviewed him. I cut my interviews out of the show. So I'm playing them here for you to see. So I hope you enjoy it. Top-ranking guest, just like we had all last week, top-ranking guest. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have fun today and tomorrow. I'll be back on Wednesday. I hope I haven't angered any of you today. It's not my intent. My intent is to let you know we all need to reclaim and reinvent. The same with America. We need to reclaim it. It doesn't belong to these frickin' yahoos in the South with their Confederate flags. Every Confederate flag should be burned. They're losers. They lost the Civil War. Let's tell them once and for all. Sit down. Shut up. You lost. You don't like it? Go somewhere else. You have told me my entire life, go be gay somewhere else. Well, you can go be a traitor somewhere else. A rally to support January 6th. Every person that showed up, of the 50 that showed up, should have been arrested for sedition, for supporting and suborning treason. Let's just stop condoning all the stuff we've been condoning. Let's stop, out of fear, accepting behavior that we wouldn't. And let's stop begging people for our very existence. All right, I am Carell. You be who you want to be, so long as don't hurt anybody. And let's give it to Gottmik, who has just won the Dorian in this clip. So we are for RuPaul's Drag Race. So it's me saying, and the winner is, and it's Gottmik. Gottmik is a transgendered contestant, female to male transgendered, who then likes to be a female in drag, proving that drag is genderless. It's a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. As for the beginning of the show today, you know what? Maybe it's my therapy. Maybe it's me working out that I really feel that I gave up. I do. I felt like I gave up. Like I gave up Carell. I just gave him up. And then I brush him off for the Dorians, give him up again. Well, I'm not giving him up. I'm reinventing him. And I'm reclaiming who he was and who he can be. I hope that you do the same in your life, that you reclaim who you were and you reinvent them to who you're going to be. Let's go to Gottmik. We'll see you on Wednesday. Kisses, kisses, kisses.
All right. And the winner for Best Reality TV Show this year of the Dorian Award is RuPaul's Drag Race. And here accepting is a RuPaul drag racer, Gottmik. Welcome.
Hi, Gorge. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. It means the world to be here and accept this award. Thank you, Gorge.
You're very welcome. Now, let's talk a little bit. Why do you think RuPaul's Drag Race is such a phenomenon and not just with the gays? I mean, in fact, mostly straight people, every straight couple. Oh, yeah. So why did this catch on? Why is drag so trendy?
I think, in my opinion, I remember when I first caught onto it, drag was not the mainstream thing. And then RuPaul just came in here and literally, like I like to say it, crashed the system and was like, hi, baby, this is what we do. This is who we are. And we're making this mainstream. And now that it is literally just the best TV show to like watch and disassociate to. It's just like shiny things, beautiful people being crazy. So you can just watch it in the background. And then when you want to get into it, it is drama. It is literally individual artists that like have spent their whole lives to figure out what makes them unique and spent their whole lives and money and savings putting into this art form, and then they're showing it at the highest level on the biggest stage in the world. And so it's just so amazing to see and so amazing to watch and just like let go and forget about all your problems and worry about artists in wigs being psychos on TV.
Now, RuPaul's Drag Race has gone on to almost every country where there's television. And what do you think that has done worldwide for the LGBTQ community? I know that it's not just, for instance, you are really shaking things up. You are a trans person who has now, I think the first trans, are you the first trans person to be in RuPaul's Drag Race?
No, I'm the first trans man, but there was a couple of amazing trans women before me that were on. And I think I was kind of like one of the first people to just full like come on here and be like forcing it. So I think that's how it kind of stirred the pot a little more than usual. But I'm so thankful for the trans women before me that came in and opened those doors for me to be able to come in and do that.
So because I'm known to be blunt, so you were a woman who trans, well, you were always a man, but you were born biologically a woman who became a man, and now you're a drag queen. Do people give you crap for that?
I mean, some people, if I ever see any comments that are saying or like trying to discredit.
Let's be on the positive about this. How does that expand RuPaul's Drag Race and help individuals out there who might be struggling the same struggle as you had? How does that help?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved the art form of drag, with or without my gender journey that I was on. And so being able to transition and go through what I went through and then keep my art form and realize that gender and drag are very different things. It's an art form as opposed to actually my life and who I am. So being able to just go in there and show people that and say that, you know, like, guys can be feminine, so trans men can be feminine too, and trans women can be masculine, and it's a spectrum, not black or white. And it was just insane to just come in there and shake it up like that and say, get into it, bitches.
Hey, man, I heard little Michael in there. Don't matter if you're black or white. Now, what are some of your, I am blind as a bat, by the way. What are some of your favorite moments from the season? What stood out for you? Is there something where you know, your jaw dropped? What were some of the highlights
of my season?
Yes.
I'm someone who literally watches TV for, I love the drama. So I really loved anytime Candy Muse stood up and was being loud and crazy because I just get into that. Obviously Tamisha, same way. She is so fun because she's just a pageantry, has been in the game for so long. Just so seeing such two different ends of the drag spectrum come together and give us the best TV ever. I was obsessed with watching that back. I was obsessed with just how many different types of artists there were on our season two. I'm really like proud of the casting that happened this season because I feel like I haven't seen this diverse of queer artists in a really long time. So it was really cool to just see everyone's different points of views on the runways and everything.
Now, you know, I've been lucky to be in the limelight for a while. And whenever I meet a fan, they always come up with the most random thing that moved them. And it's something that I usually don't even remember. And yet it was like the world to them. What are some fun things that you've encountered when you've encountered the people who have come up to you from the show and recognized you? Oh my God, it's Got Milk. You know, and what are some of the, is there a theme amongst the fans, or what are some of the most fun moments?
Yeah, I think I was really lucky to just come in here and be able to talk about my gender journey for so many episodes, because I think what I get most is that I just help people realize that, like I was saying earlier, gender is not black and white. There's a whole spectrum. So I've had amazing trans women, trans men, non-binary people that just come to me and they're like, you just help me realize that I do not have to fit on this spectrum or fit into what society thinks I have to be. And I got to talk about that on the show. I was like, you don't have to be Barbie or Ken, even though the media wants to portray trans people as that. You have this whole middle ground. You can be whatever you want, because like, look at the cis people around you. They're being whatever they want. So trans people can do the exact same thing. So I was very lucky to stay the amount of time I did, because that would even motivate me sometimes on the show. I was like, I've got to make it through this episode. I have to talk about this tomorrow, like full on.
Not that you were putting any undue pressure. I've got to say, I want to talk about this.
I need to do well in this acting challenge, because I have so much to talk about in the workroom.
One last question. I did reality TV and I've produced it. And so I know that it's not real. And I think the audience kind of knows that as well. But with RuPaul's Drag Race, is it real? In other words, do they make y'all fight or the other things that you guys do? Or is this real? Is this the way it happened?
Honestly, I really feel like putting a bunch of drag queens in a room, it is real. You cannot make that stuff up. I think, you know, obviously like we're doing so many different challenges, and so they can kind of like be like, oh, this is an acting and they're going to be talking about this. But we are, for the most part, a lot of us are testosterone filled angels with corsets and very small shoes on, ready to rip our wigs off. So steam's a brewing, we're tired and we're ready to fight most of the time. So I think most of it is very, very, very real.
And of course, that's the part the fans love the most. Well, congratulations on the win for RuPaul's Drag Race. And thank you, Got Mick, for joining me today. From your very stylish set, I have to say, you're almost winning the Zoom war.
Oh my God, stop. Just a little couch moment. I was like, just come chill with me on my couch today while I win this award.
I'd watch an entire series of just chilling with you on your couch. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And thank you so much for the award.
There we go. That's that.
Oh my God, stunning.